welcome to the Amiga Ireland Show. I'm Jarlath, and with me today is Rob.
Hello.
And Luke.
Hello.
How are you doing, Luke?
I'm very well. How about you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Rob?
I'm great. Busy recently, but yeah, it's all good. Settling down now nicely.
Well, since we last spoke, I've been fiddling around with Wi-Fi on the C64, and it's been quite a journey. Luke sent me a surprise in the post, which was a cartridge that goes into the user programmable port. It's about the size of a cartridge game for the Commodore 64. You can set it up to access your router over Wi-Fi and get online with it. And just last night, I finally got it working. So thanks very much, Luke. And thanks to Daniel Saigonek, too, in Galway for sorting me out with a floppy with the software on it.
I'm really glad. As it's going to be more and more exciting. A lot of BBSs are around there, you know, for you to go through.
It's amazing. I mean, I've done a little on the Amiga, but doing it on the Commodore 64, it's just, I feel like I'm back in an episode of Stranger Things or something, just seeing the really old the really old blocky text and stuff, and there's actual activity going on. It's amazing.
Well, the BBS Commodore C64 Center is very, very active, so I'm pretty sure you won't be disappointed and you'll be really, really busy. And I look forward to your pictures.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely be sending some pictures out, and I'll put them up on their Twitter account and wherever else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Rob?
I've got a couple of bug reports in from a couple of my programs, so that's kind of my... My thing for the last while, so this is good. It's, you know, feedback.
Bad developer.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so there's a couple of things there ticking over, and I've been working on some graphics routines for my Blitz Basic tutorials. So they're coming on well. Plenty to go along with.
It's time for me to order my next issue, actually. How about you, Luke?
I've been going through some music discs, you know, for Amiga. There are actually loads of them on www.poet.net, and two of them that are really, really interesting and I can, you know, recommend are like 8-Bit Jungle by Unstable Label. But do you know, Unstable Label is actually one of the greatest Amiga musicians, DJ Hoffman. And this music disc is really, really like a, you know, powerful and really energetic drum and bass stuff. The other one is Kiss My Jazz by Appendix. And these guys, this music disc is from, I think, 2001 or 2004, something like that. But these guys, they've created a really brilliant music discs with variety of different styles and different genres, from ambient to drum and bass, from drum and bass to pop, from pop, you know, to other stuff. So these two are really worth listening to, and if you have an opportunity, please do so.
Cool, definitely will. I'm always looking for new stuff. Right, will we move on?
Okay,
here we go. And first up in the news today, Amiga Future have released an app for Android, and it's now available in the Google Play Store. And it seems to be an aggregator for their news feed. I don't have an Android phone, actually. Nobody in the house does either. I have a Linux phone, which obviously has very few apps available for it, so I can't check it out. But it looks like it'll keep you up to date with the Amiga Future news, and it's nice to see Amiga stuff in the Android App Store.
Diagram is, you know, you have to be fairly technical and fairly comfortable with the Amiga hardware to know what that is, but it's basically a diagnostic ROM, so a replacement for Kickstart that lets you diagnose very sort of low-level hardware faults on Amigas. And it's written by a guy called John Hertel, or Chucky on the forums, and he has released a new version of it and also released it as open source, so it's available on GitHub. But it's a great bit of software software. It's a ROM image that you'll have to burn to a chip to use. But it's great if you're diagnosing hardware and if that's your thing.
That is incredible.
Technical, very, very technical, I must say.
Yes, it's not for the faint of heart, to be honest. But it's very, very useful for such low level problems that the Amiga won't even start. it's, you know, it'll tell you about those things.
Oh man, that is cool. So do you take out your Kickstart chips, is it, and put in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's sort of, so it's a lower level than that. And it'll tell you, you know, sort of what kind of problems you're having with memory buses and, you know, which custom chips are not starting up properly. Things like that.
Okay. And does it boot then into a workbench? Is it like a debug mode of the same thing, or is it a totally different?
No, it's a fairly basic text kind of thing. Or even if it'll even work without RAM. But it can do then is just flash different colors at you. But even with, depending on the pattern flashes and the colors involved, you can tell exactly what kind of problems are going on. And it'll give you a serial debug output as well. So you can, you know, so if it doesn't have any RAM available, like if there's a massive problem with the chip RAM, you can connect up another serial terminal and get an output there, see what's wrong.
My mind is blown. That is amazing.
Very useful, very involved bit of kit.
A new version of WHD Load has been released. The number is 18.3, and WHD Load is a fantastic tool if you like playing games. I think it's a must. It's absolutely one of these things that you have to have, unless you play games from your Gotek or from floppy disks. But if you're playing games from, you know, hard drive or CF card, WHD Load is just massive. I'm pretty sure both of you guys have been using that and will be using that. I've been using that, and I'm absolutely a registered user. And I think, you know, every penny that I've spent on that is worth it.
Absolutely. I registered that, probably 10 or 15 years ago. Anyway, it was quite a while ago, and I've had it installed ever since. It is free now, and it's basically donation driven now, but it's well worth a few quid. Buy the guy a beer. It's brilliant software.
It's definitely worth sending, you know, a couple of quid to a person, you know, that's been developing this one. So really, absolutely. Right. The other one is Jim Drew's RS-232 Y modem has been progressing steadily, and Jim Drew claims that the retail price will be around $49.95 American dollars. So another Wi-Fi modem, this time for Amigas, claims it is going to be for all other computers that have RS-25 ports. So this is all getting more and more exciting if it comes, you know, to BBSing. I think it's a new craze, actually, you know, if you look around. So
yeah.
And another thing, today actually, a new version of Roadshow has been released, 1.13. It's a fantastic piece of software, you know, the best TCP/IP stack. And if you would like to go online, it's a must, same as WHD Load if you play games. So Roadshow is the fastest, the most lightweight, and the greatest TCP/IP stack for your Amiga. So I again encourage everyone to support it, as it's still being.
And I remember when you first introduced me to Roadshow, Luke, it ran on a stock Amiga 1200.
Yes, yeah, that's right. It's just so lightweight, actually, and you can even run it, I think, on a stock Amiga 600, you know? Yeah, it is, indeed. A lot of hard work has been done, but it's again, worth every penny.
And what's in the update?
In the update, there are a lot of them, actually. Polish localization files were contributed. Ping command has been updated. Traceroute command shares the same time interval measurement improvements with the ping command, and so on, in the show notes. Okay. So
it's a lot of small improvements, isn't it?
Improvements, but at the same time, you know, they show that this piece of software has been developed and the author still works on it.
Yeah, it's great to see.
Yeah, again, worth registering.
Yeah, I'm registered.
Me too.
I'm not. I'm still using the stack from OS 3.9.
We kind of set you up there, really. That was
That's it. Yeah. There you go.
You still have plenty of time.
It's part of OS 4 and I'm using that, so we'll count it.
Okay, fair enough then.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, there's a PPC laptop crowdfunding campaign due to start this month. And if it's successful, they will partner with A-Cube. The link will be in the show notes.
We've seen that before and nothing came of it. But yeah, you know, it would be nice. It would be nice. I'm not going to hold my breath. But
unfortunately, I think, you know, that the PPC platform is just a dead platform. Let's face it.
I've been reading, you know, opinions from both camps, say people who are, you know, Intel, people who would be, you know, into PPC. And it seems like the architecture is a bit, you know, it may well be dead, but it seems the architecture is a bit more elegant, more enjoyable maybe to program for. That's something I seem to have heard from both camps.
Well, Morphos has been running on laptops, on iBooks and PowerBooks for quite some time. And I think it's very fast. It's good to have, you know, like a mobile platform, Amiga platform. And I've seen it in action, you know, and it's really fast and it's nice. So that's one thing.
The thing is that back in the 90s, PowerPC was the path to follow after 68K. And so, you know, so that's the way Apple went, and that's the way Amiga was supposed to go. And then everything went belly up there. You can kind of see it as a legacy thing, really. And, you know, the move was started to it. And by the time, you know, it was a bad move, too much, if we'd gone too far down that path. So kind of stuck with it without having a massive overhaul of the whole OS. It's the easiest option at the moment, even if it is a hard option, you know.
Well, with Morpheus moving to Intel x86, Apple being on Intel, I know, I think for more than 10 years, even 11, it's really hard for me, for example, to predict what's going to happen to PPC. Personally, it's just dead. Sorry. It's a real pity because it's, you know, it's a wasted chance, but who knew at that time that Apple, you know, would leave, you know, the market and move on to you know, to Intel. Yeah, I know. They knew that around 1999, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
They secretly, you know, like ported their Mac OS X first version, I think, to Intel around 2000.
Yeah. That was one of the things, was when they, you know, they effectively created a whole new OS with OS X.
Yeah.
And they made it, you know, effectively as abstract from the hardware as you can.
Portable as they could.
Yeah, exactly. So they can port it to pretty much anything they want, and it would relatively little effort.
If they wanted to port it to RISC, they would have, you know, like ported that to RISC, but, you know, they chose they chose at that time Intel, so.
No, and Amiga OS and Morpho OS don't have that kind of luxury. We don't have that same kind of agnosticism.
Because we are, you know, like a tiny niche, and that's the thing.
Yeah. So AROS has a bit more of that because they've got a bit of more sort of abstract structure to the kernel. But, you know, again, that's effectively a new OS from scratch. It's not, you know, apart from the 68K branch, it's not compatible at anything lower than the API level.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
So they could afford to do that. And that's to their advantage now because they can port to whatever they want. There's ARM ports and PPC and x86 and x64.
Indeed, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a debate will never reach a conclusion. In other news, AmigaNews.de have reported that Amiga Inc. has lost their US trademark, and there have been new registrations from Cloanto and Hyperion. Obviously, the whole trademark thing runs so deep in Amiga, it's actually the reason for a lot of the spin-off systems that we use and why people decide, you know, to go forward or not to go forward or to use this system. I've tried to dig around to see, you know, to find out a bit more about this, what the consequences might be, and it's really not clear.
I don't think anyone can ever dig out what's going on there.
It never was, and it never will be, to be honest.
No. You'll be digging for the rest of your life.
Yeah, like, because there's copyright, there's trademark.
Yeah, it's better to run, you know,
actually licensed from third-party people.
Yeah.
It's so complicated. Who knows if anything's actually going to change, but hopefully it's in better hands than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the new hands can actually actualize something from it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And kind of in a similar vein, the Picasso 96 driver has been sold, and that was also, Hyperion are also involved there. That has been sold to Hyperion and Individual Computers. That's Jens Schoenfeld's company. And you'll know them from all the fantastic hardware that they've made. But this is interesting because Picasso 96 is closed source, but it has not been touched in about 15 years. You know, so the last time it had an update, I installed it 15 years ago, and that's the same version drivers I have now. So no one could write drivers for it without either reverse engineering what was there, because the software development kit was closed and it was commercial. So you had to license the software development kit to write drivers. There was no documentation. There was nothing if you didn't pay for it. So this is very interesting, because this is the first time there's been anything happening for 15 years. And now already Jens has said that the SDK, the software development kit, is going to be freely available. So that means now anyone can write a driver. For anyone who's updating a driver or thinking of making a new graphics card, it makes things a hell of a lot easier.
That's great.
Zune Paint is showing up with fairly regular updates. I haven't used it myself, but it seems to be growing features at quite a steady rate. It's a paint package for Eros, and it looks quite good. As I said, you know, every few weeks there's another update and more bugs fixed and some more features added. So it looks like it's becoming quite a good package.
Cool. I don't think I've heard of it before.
It's Eros. I don't know if there's a port for the other platforms.
I don't think so. Zune is like more, you know, for 68K and, you know, more for OS and OS 4. So I think it's strictly Eros as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. It looks fantastic anyway. And it's good to see sort of regular continuous development going on.
I've actually downloaded Broadway just a week or two ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they have a new release, and which should probably be in the news section as well. And it's quite a nice desktop. The one they tend to point everyone to is Icaros.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the one I have installed.
Yeah, Broadway is actually quite nice, and they've got a crowdfunder. Aros Broadway have got a crowdfunding campaign for that distribution of Aros. So like in Linux, you can have different distributions like Red Hat and, you know, Fedora and Ubuntu. There are different distributions of Aros. This one looks really nice, and you can go and you can contribute for certain features that they're planning on working on or in the middle of working on. I'll put it in the show notes when I find it. Also, the Guru Meditation have posted photos and videos of the Viva Amiga panel. And with them was the Paula chip designer, Glenn Keller. They also had Trevor Dickinson, Zach Weddington, and Aaron Ruschetta at the Vintage Computer Festival, Southeast 5.0. Adam Spring was responsible for moderating and putting together the group. And also in the news, on AmiNet, there's an NTP package has been released by unsatisfactorysoftware.co.uk.
Unsatisfactory reading.
Satisfactory reading, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't help that there's a big red underline here on my notes.
You tell me that, I'm a foreigner. English is not my, you know, like a native language.
And sometimes you speak it better than me, I have to say.
Yeah.
Right, let's go on, let's move on.
Chris Young is the developer, and I've been using it on my 1200. I have a real-time clock module in there that I bought, and it's been kind of semi-reliable, where it works sometimes and not others. It could be just the battery, but it was new, so I just sort of assumed the battery would be good. But anyway, I installed this, and it's been working like a charm, and I don't think I'll even bother like opening up. I'm getting seriously lazy. I don't know about you, but opening the Amiga to do stuff, I just can't be bothered. Like, you know, if I can download a piece of software, that'll do me.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. But if it does the job, what's the point then?
Yeah, but
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but it also shows how good the Wi-Fi networking situation is on Amiga these days, where you can download something to save you opening up and doing a repair. Like,
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's almost taken for granted these days.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, will we move on to our gaming section?
Go for it.
Okay, so first up in gaming news, Solus 2 for the C64 has had a preview video released for it. It's kind of nostalgic of, it's kind of reminiscent of Anteriad. It looks really nice, and the link to the preview video will be in the show notes.
Very good, very good. If anyone is on the EAB forum, you'll probably have seen news items with this flashing up. But there's a guy there called Damien D, and he's creating hard drive images of old CD games. So basically a lot of people have Amigas now that don't have CD drives in them. A lot of 1200s that are capable of running these games other than having a CD drive. So he's creating these packages that you can download and either unpack onto your hard drive and play them, or as a hard drive file for playing in an emulator. And so he's setting these up so, you know, you don't have to go and try and hunt for a CD drive or hunt for the CD. And, you know, it's great to see that. So there's a few of the big games that are, that he's come up with now so far. Foundation, T-Zero, Big Red Adventure, and Europa 2. And there are more on the way.
Fantastic.
Great. Really good one. Right. Mindrunner is a great clone of the Loadrunner. Loadrunner is a game from 1983 and it's been ported to a lot of, you know, different platforms, including 64, ZX Spectrum, Apple II, Amstrad and so on, and consoles, Sega. The surprising thing is that the Amiga version is actually not very good one, not the best one, you know. So I thought, like, you know, I really like this game and I've been playing that one, you know, on my C64. So I thought I'm going to give it a go on Amiga. So I've just, you know, like, found a Mindrunner on Aminet. And to my surprise, the guy who developed actually this game is Lazy Cow, who's been responsible recently for Power Glove as well. And if you have the opportunity, give it a go. You'll find the link in the show notes. The other thing is, if you have at least 030 and an AGA machine, you can try and run macOS emulator, either Shapeshifter or Fusion. I think Fusion is a bit faster. It's got better, you know, graphics drivers as well. And you can run second part of Loadrunner, Loadrunner 2: The Legend Returns, and it's really great, and it's really fast, very colorful, like a, you know, like a modern incarnation of this great game, and it was developed by Sierra actually in 1996, so. I can recommend both of these games to anyone who's a fan of Loadrunner. The other thing is Limbo, great little game in black and white, indie game, is a work in progress for C64. Guys, have you been playing Limbo on, you know, on your PCs?
I have it. I haven't actually started it, would you believe, but I have it there. It came in one of the Humble Bundles years ago. And it looks good, and I started it up, but I haven't actually done anything with it. I'm terrible for that.
I've been playing it on my PC at some point, you know, and it's a really, really, mm-hmm. really great game. And I really look forward to a C64 version. There is a video, actually, I think two videos of work in progress on YouTube. This is going to be great. This is going to be, you know, like a pinball dreams for C64 as well. So, a breakthrough.
Yeah, the video does look amazing. Like the sprite has inertia,
it's
and there's physics.
So smooth and fluid.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to discoveries.
There's a list of active BBSs if you're into the BBS, you know, stuff. And the link is going to be in the show notes as well. And this site is just massive and it's huge and it's updated on a daily basis. So if you have a, you know, like a, you know, Wi-Fi modem for C64 or a Ethernet or a Wi-Fi card for your Amiga, so I really strongly encourage you to have a look, to see, to check, and to go to one of the BBSs.
It's good for Jarlath now and his C64.
Yeah, it's perfect timing.
Paula Powered Level Up is a new CD. It's actually only just released yesterday, and it's by this two-piece band who use an Amiga 1200 and a tracker as their backing. This is very interesting stuff if that's your thing. It's well worth a look.
Punk retro plus electro for me. I've seen it. Yeah.
It's good,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I found a website called oldschoolgameblog.com, and they have a really nice layout covering all kinds of Amiga-related activity. They have their finger on the pulse of all kinds of stuff going on, game releases, events. They cover, you know, podcasts, including us, actually. We got covered on them. Thank you, Old School Game Blog. Another one I found, which is also excellent, is called Vintage is the New Old. .com, and it covers Amiga and some other stuff. But one feature they've got that I really like is the Tuesday evening retro gaming news updates, where they list basically any games that have been updated and released, so you can go and download them. So I'll put the link for that in the show notes too. Also, I met the tech journalist from Amazing Computing magazine, which was an Amiga magazine. So there's a new social network called Mastodon. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Basically, it's sort of a response to Twitter. So it's called a federated platform. So you can sort of join an instance that has the values you're interested in, but you can still communicate with other instances as well. Anyway, I digress. From posting a few Amiga tidbits on Mastodon, I actually managed to meet the tech journalist. Their Amiga magazine, which was Amiga Computing magazine, has been completely it's all available now on archive.org, so you can read through all their issues. So the tech journalist, his first name is Jason. It's just interesting to look back, especially when the people who contributed to it are still active online at the moment. And my last discovery, Luke sent me over a Wi-Fi card for the C64 that I already spoke of earlier. It's been a really interesting process. You can go to AmigaUsers.ie and see some pictures. Not AmigaUsers.ie. You can go to our Twitter account, the Amiga Ireland Twitter account. So I have found that the magic combination is to use strike term in combination with CCGMS. And if you use those two terminals, I was able to use one to set the SSID and password for the router and use the other one to actually, you know, get online and stuff like that and connect to BBSs. So I haven't done a whole lot with it yet, but it does work.
I'm really glad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we move on to our community section and leave the train wreck behind us.
Revision is a great demo scene event, and it was held in Germany last April, and a lot of Amiga intros and demos have been released. The link for them will be in the show notes. Also, there's going to be a video download link, so if you're interested in demo scene, demos, intros, music, modules, please have a look and go through the links. You won't be disappointed, I can promise you that.
Okay, and on the 29th of April, Retro Madrid ran an event, and I had never heard of this until just about 2 days ago. There are some really great photographs. They had all kinds of machines, including Amigas and Commodores, and we'll have the links in the show notes, and who knows, we might even nip over next year for the next one. Then events coming up, the QB Party 2017 is in Sulisap in Hungary. I don't know.
Sounds good.
May 12th to 14th, and the link to that will be in the show notes too. The stage area is visible and audible from out of doors, weather providing, so there'll actually be indoor and outdoor stuff going on, which is nice. The entry fee is 4,000 Hungarian...
Forints. They have forints, yeah.
Forints, is it okay? I was going to say gold press latinum or something. Okay. that's 13 euro anyway, it works out. A student ticket is 1,500 huffs. And children under 16 are 500 huffs, which is...
Good, that is the hives.
And they also say that this year they will have a children's corner again. So I hope there's enough room for everybody in that. And also the Outline 2017 is on in the Netherlands, May 25th to 28th. The outlinedemoparty.nl is their website. The tickets cost €65 during the prepay period and increases after that. And a €30 upgrade for prepay tickets adds free dinners to the mix.
Okay. In other community news, the MorphOS storage site, which has only recently been started, is getting a lot of attention, and it's currently at 800 plus uploads. So that's sort of a MorphOS specific file archive, basically for MorphOS packages. So that's looking very good. And another group of people who've been quite busy are the Team Amiga Source Code Preservation Project. They've been approaching developers for all different software, and you know, software that's old and not updated anymore, and basically persuading them to release the source code, uploading it to AmiNet, and they've got 50 so far, and they're still at it. So that's great as well, because you know, if these projects are sort of effectively dead otherwise, it's great to see the source being released.
Now we move on to Amiga Around the World. While browsing the internet, I found, you know, an interesting article on newsbbc.co.uk. 40 ways we still use floppy disks. And the article is, you know, quite interesting, you know, because there are people from all around the world who use floppy disks actually quite differently than we do. We just, you know, like put it in, you know, like a floppy drive and that's it. But there's a guy who uses them as a beer mat. There's a guy who is a painter, who is an artist, and he used floppy disks to produce his paintings. Can you imagine that? Or, for example, floppy disks are still being used, you know, in the industry, aviation industry, to update firmware on ticket printers. And
jeez, I'm glad you didn't say on the actual airplanes. I'd never fly again.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, as well, if they used them. And there are different people from Malaysia, USA, Japan, England, London, and Copenhagen. So if you're interested, and you know, if you're curious how you can actually use your, you know, like damaged, for example, floppy disks, or you have your curiosity for an article like that, I urge you to go there. The link will be in the show notes. Have a look through, and I hope you'll enjoy that.
In my old job, we still use floppy disks up until I left. That was 3 years ago. Some of our machines were very, very old. Now, these are sort of medical devices, so they kind of, they have a very long sort of service life. And some of them were, you know, built in the 90s, still running. But, you know, they would release a software update and it'd be 18 floppy disks. And you spend half the day, you know, put in insert disk 16, and then you get it. It would fail to read, and so I start again. You know, it was awful. But yeah, there still is a lot of niche stuff like say the aviation industry and medical device industry still used.
Must try and get a job in one of those places because I actually need more floppy disks.
Oh, I should have taken them all when I was leaving, because, like I said, every software update we got was 18 floppy disks, and we had 6 or 7 of these machines. We had hundreds of the things, and they're all sitting in a filing cabinet somewhere. Yeah, well,
they need to be liberated.
Absolutely. I'll have a word with my contacts. Anyways.
Okay, will we move on to sports?
Go!
So we have some updates from the Amiga Super League. From the April leagues, Nesteroid has come out top, and this is the second time in a row. This month he finished 10 points clear of Playavelli. That's some superb form. So he was saying that he's happy about reaching his peak over the last few weeks. Now, it seems that he's getting a great turnout for all these matches. Every month they have a certain number of matches have to be played, and 49 players have competed in 4 divisions over the last month, which is fantastic to see. Andreas Ibsen from Denmark and Ivano Azzori from Italy. So apologies on the pronunciation there. They got relegated in March, but they've come straight back up in April. They finishing first and second in the ASL 2 League in April. So now, the Amiga Super League also had a cup night, and that was played on the 7th of April. And this is a one-night event of just knockout rounds that were chosen randomly. So Playavelli won that, but had to fight all the way because he incurred first leg defeats all the way up. In the last 16, he met Andreas Ibsen, and that went to penalties. Obviously won there. I was actually broadcast on Twitch, believe it or not. So that's an interesting one.
I wish I'd known about that, actually.
No, same here. Yeah. Just on a slight side note, there was a guy that was broadcasting various things on Amiga games on Twitch, and he was doing it with proper Amiga hardware, basically reading the video into his PC and broadcasting from there. That's crazy. But it's very good to see someone playing Cannon Fodder
online.
There's
a guy doing it for the Commodore 64 as well.
No way.
So, yeah, I was watching him playing Ghostbusters.
Yeah. There you go. In other Sensible Soccer news, the Sensible Days are going to be held in Budapest. We were talking about that the last time out, but for the first time ever, we've got two people from Romania taking part. Finally, what we have here is SensibleSoccer.de keep a worldwide league table of all the best Sensible World of Soccer players. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to read out the top 10. Again, apologies for these names. But so number one, Nesteroid. Then we've got Coolio Jack. Andlib in third place, Asura in fourth, Playavelli, who is our contact in Sensible Soccer, he's in fifth place, Lemon Hediv, sixth, Bobby Bobras in seventh, eighth is Spur, then we've got Bomb and Cinek or Cinek at the end there, and that's the top 10.
Lovely.
And again, apologies about those pronunciations.
Yeah, you got the bigger share of difficult to pronounce words this time on this episode.
Yeah.
I know that if you join their Discord group, you can get notified when they do these cups.
Very good.
Yeah, it's cool because it's international. You know, you get yourself on the international leaderboard.
Yeah.
Go!
Okay, so last episode we ran a poll and we asked, with the GoTech available, as well as easy networking solutions for Amiga, how do you feel about the floppy drive and diskettes? So the results are in, and I'd like to thank all 14 people who voted.
That's all right. Better than nothing.
Did either of you vote on this?
Of course. I did. I did.
Okay, I voted too. So really, we're only thanking 12 people. So... Okay, the results are 79% said floppy disks, give me the warm and fuzzies, I love them. Nice to see that because I feel the same. Next then at 14%, I don't care either way, I'm dead inside. That looks about right. And then 7% said floppy is one thing I don't feel nostalgic about, let it die. Long live GoTech and networking. So thanks for being good sports and entering our poll.
We've got another one. And this month's poll is, do you go online with your Amiga or 64? The first one is, yes, I'm already online. The second one, I plan to soon. And the third one, Amiga can go online? Really? Right, guys. There's a feedback section as well down there. If you have any queries, questions, if you'd like to get in touch, if you have, you know, ideas and you'd like to share, get in touch with us. We have a comment section at the end of episode notes. So feel free to drop us a line or anything.
Yeah, when you go to amigausers.ie/listen, you can see the player for every episode there in a nice handy list. But if you click on an episode title, you get the full show notes and there's a comment section at the end. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have a bit of banter going on with you here on the show.
Thank you very much and see you next time, guys.
Yes, thanks to Playavelli from sensiblesoccer.ie for the SWAS updates and to Virtual Dimensions and Banjo Guy Ollie for the music. We'll see you all, or hear you all, next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.